It's not just Australia. Everyone's going to do this. So Japan is now also suspending parcel shipments to the US if they're over $100.
There's a whole bunch of countries.
Gamergate just killed PlayAsia.
PlayAsia's been dead for...
Well, I mean, you're sucking on that particular teeth for a while. Player 2 Pixelcast episode 167. I am your host, Sleepy McSleepyface. sometimes known as Tim Henderson, but I will be Sleepy McSleepyface for, I think, at least another day. Fuck waking up at 12:30 in the morning and not being able to get back to sleep. Anyway, somewhat more refreshed with me at the moment is the captain of rum himself. Knows how to do this in the evening to calm down, though. He's got a cuppa. Huso, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm enjoying my cup of tea, too. It's a cream Earl Grey. It's quite tasty.
Cream Earl Grey. Is that Earl Grey with cream, or is that like a whole...
No, it's like a blend that the tea shop does. It's quite nice. It's like you don't have to have milk. You can just have black tea, and it's got that kind of milky kind of flavor to it. It's quite nice.
I just learned that Huso is turning into a tea person, not just the person who drinks tea.
I like nice tea. I like nice things. I'm
like
old.
Nice things.
You
in
like
general.
Nice things when you get old.
Do you, Rob? Test of age, then. Do you like nice things?
Well, when I can afford them, you know, when before the man, you know, decided to do the things that you know.
Basically, you were born after 1982, I think.
No, I was born. I'm 1981. Ooh. As old as a Vic 20.
81 kids. Woo!
Just getting that decade. All right, so yeah, he still likes nice things. Rob likes them when you can afford them. I'm too sleepy to care. Anyway, we will finally be rotating hosts again starting next episode, so everyone's got that to look forward to. But yeah, I've just gotten back from Europe, ironically, where I did not pay enough attention to Gamescom because law of irony or something means that, I was on holiday. I decided to drink beer and eat cheese instead of watching game trailers. Yeah, dude, I literally at some point was like, I need to stop eating cheese. It was like my main meal for like 3 days in a row once we hit Belgium. Okay. I live in Japan, though. Like, real cheese is hard to come by here sometimes, at least at any kind of affordable rate, and certainly in a restaurant setting. But I did also play games. We'll save me for the end, because I have the least important things to say. I've decided, though, that Huso has the most important thing to say, because he was reviewing the game that I really wanted to review, but the embargo dropped like the day before I came back home, which seemed a little bit...
Oh, yes. Yes, it did. But I played Shinobi. Shinobi, The Art of Vengeance. The new Shinobi game, the first one since... There wasn't one on the Saturn or anything, was there?
There was one
on the 3DS. Okay, a long bloody time, anyway, since a Shinobi game.
It's been more than a decade, yeah.
Yeah. And it's been developed by the cats behind the Streets of Rage 4 release, which...
A pretty good Wonder Boy remake as well.
Yeah, so they like to delve into the Sega back catalogue and bring them into the modern day. And I have to say they've done really, really good job here with Shinobi. It is straight up action platformer heaven. There is very, very minor Metroidvania-ish elements in that you get new abilities later on. You can go back to old levels and find some secrets. That's about it. That's as far as the Metroid-y. Otherwise, it's just straight up action platformer. And it is a tight, tight action platformer. The combat is wonderful. The movement is just as good. It just all comes together really well with a beautiful, beautiful package, like this hand-drawn art style just stunning. And in motion, it's even better. This is a really well put together, platformer. I do have a couple of little issues with it. It's very short. Like, very short. Like, you could smash it out
in 5-6 hours or something.
Yeah, like 6 hours, maybe 8 if you had to 100% everything. But yeah, it's very short. And the other thing is there's a massive difficulty spike once you hit the last two levels. Like, it just goes bam. It feels like everything was on a nice gradual curve. And, you know, things were tough, but it kind of led you up that tough road much better. And then it hits the last two levels and it's just like, bam, suck it up, sunshine, you got to do this. And so it feels like there was maybe a level or two missing in between that could have helped that gradual curve a bit more.
What's your suspicion? Conspiracy head on. Do you think they just had to ship and like they had to like, okay, we're just going to scrap this level that would have like bridged the difficulty gap?
Or I feel like that's what it feels like to me, right? Like it just, and I've got nothing to base that in because, you know, there's hardly any story. So it's hard to tell from like, there's no jarring story point or anything that gives it away. But it just feels like there could have been one or two more levels to just kind of work you up, because all of a sudden it's not so much the combat. The combat's tough the whole way through. The combat, you've got all the tools, but it's the platforming. And the platforming, there's some insanely difficult platforming that has got to be like,
I read your review. You actually went wired.
I went wired. A wet wired controller just to, because like I was struggling, especially this last one before the final boss, where there's like these flames chasing you up a building and you've got to pinpoint precision dashes and then use the environment and all these extra things. So it was quite, you know, hair-pullingly frustrating at points.
I'm going to put a potential PSA in here just based on experience with Ninja Gaiden Ragebound,
yeah,
where there is no Switch 2 SKU. Like, it just uses backward compatibility. And in that case, it runs at half the frame rate because that's what the Switch 1 could do. And I'm going to guess with Shinobi, I think it might be the same. At least there's no Switch 2 version I can see. And I would not be surprised if it did run at 30 instead of 60, which means maybe avoid the Switch version.
It could
unless
do.
You really, really need handheld play and, you know, don't have a Steam Deck because those things are expensive and that would be understandable.
Yeah, yeah. It was a bit frustrating at the end. The final boss battle was really good, tough. You know, a two-phase boss battle, as you'd expect from a final boss. And, like, you know, you beat him and go, shit, yeah, I knocked him out after three deaths, and then he morphs into the new form, and you go, fuck.
All right. Remember doing that before then?
No, they didn't do that before then. None of the bosses did up until that point. And all the boss battles are a lot of fun. All the combat sections are really fun. It's only really that difficulty spike that kind of let thing down. And the length of the game. I really would have liked more of this because it's that good. I'm usually all for short games, but this just felt a tad too short, you know. There is more stuff coming, apparently. There's a few themed levels coming, like there's a Dr. Robotnik themed level I saw coming. I don't know what that entails. It might just be a boss rush sort of thing, but I don't know.
It might be a reskin of the missing level we've just decided.
Maybe, you know, you go through Forest Hill Zone. But yeah, it's so nice to play this game. Like it played perfectly on the handheld at full graphics. Like, you know, so no issues at all. Like, it's just well done, well animated, really, really good game. And like I said, that difficulty curve may put you off right at the end. But you're that far in, you're kind of at the point where you just got to do it, you know.
I mean, if it's 6 hours long, then clearly it's a surmountable curve.
Yeah, it is. And you could do it. It's just, it's going to probably cause you frustration along the way. And that's on normal difficulty. I'm not sure what the hard difficulty does to the platforming. It may not do anything to platforming. It may just affect
like health
combat.
Bars and the enemies.
Yeah. So, yeah. And at the end, there's a time attack mode. There's a score mode. There's a boss rush mode if you want to keep playing. Or you can go back to the old levels and find all the little bits and secrets. There's kind of these optional platforming areas, which are tough platforming sections, where you get like, you know, one run to do this sort of platforming section without any damage. They work well in this instance, I think. It works within the context of the game really well. And there's also these secret combat ones where you kind of fight waves of, you know, beefed up enemies and you got to dodge and weave and use your special moves and all those sort of things. So it all just works really well. It all feels natural on the controller. There's no confusion, even though there's quite a lot of mechanics. It's a really, really well put together action platformer. You know, props to those guys and their art direction team, because holy shit.
Jeez, it looks so good.
Yeah.
I'm just basing this on YouTube. I haven't even seen him running native, but
yeah, it is so good. Yeah.
The screens and stuff look amazing. So
yeah.
Especially, definitely. Again, where I got stuck with Ninja Gaiden Rage Mount. I shouldn't say stuck with it. It was still a pretty good game, but that was just like, this is good, competent pixel art. And then you look at Shinobi and you're like, oh, this is like a whole other level.
Yeah, yeah. And it is fun. It's got quite a bit of humor in it, which I always found interesting because Joe Migashi, I forget his name anyway, main guy. He doesn't say anything the whole game. He just grunts. So someone someone will have this big, long conversation with him and go, you know, the fate of the world, and he'll go, like this, and literally it'll be subtitled with just dot, 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 you know. That's his whole game. Like the boss is ranting on, why did you get this far? You're insufferable. I'm going to kill you, you bastard.
It might be a little bit funnier if it was actually subtitled like H-R-R-R-G-H or something.
Which I thought was funny, and it never got old. Yeah. Shinobi. It should get it. I don't know how much it is, actually. I didn't even check that.
It's like 40-something bucks, I think.
Yeah, look.
It's probably fair.
Probably fair. Yeah. That's
a bit over, you know, 1.5 times the cost of a movie these days.
Yeah, it is. That's true. But you won't be disappointed with it. Like, it's fun. It's really fun. And perfect on handhelds. Perfect on – I played it on PC, but I've heard I was talking to someone playing it on the PlayStation, and he said it was shit hot on that too, so – yeah,
got it. On like, you've got a good TV, like having that thing on play, like it would run like butter on any current gen console that isn't the Switch, I think. So
yeah. It ran. I played it both on telly, on my monitor, and on the ROG, and all three brilliant.
Yeah, although going from like lush, beautiful hand drawn animation to the pixel art that I was not really complaining about, but being a bit more like in comparison by Rob.
Right.
You've been getting your shmup on, or am I looking at this wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll be playing Earthian, and Earthian is interesting because it's – so technically Earthian is a Mega Drive game. It's a brand new game.
I was about to say that the cover art, like a little – look, I'm a cover art. Yeah, I mean like the thumb in – it looks like a Mega Drive box art.
Basically, it's been written for the Mega Drive, but at the moment you can only get it on PC, and it's basically in a wrapped emulator.
Okay.
So it's written with the tooling that it's going to come on a Mega Drive cartridge. And I was going to wait for that, but that's not until next year because they want to basically make sure that they don't need to update the ROM. There's already been like one update to the release on Steam for this.
Yep.
So Earthian is a horizontal shooter developed by Ancient. That's the studio run by Yuzo Koshiro, you know, pretty well-regarded composer for a whole bunch of games from the Mega Drive era and beyond. They basically want to do and throw back to like 16-bit era stuff and do it, like I said, legit on the hardware. And one of the things I really like is that the 16-bit era of shooters is sort of before they went to bullet hell, like the cave model. And I'm not a big fan of that model because it sort of gets in the way of what I love about shooters, just like going pure lizard brain and just reacting. But this does a lot of cool things where it's a good challenge. Like I've been playing on normal difficulty. I've gotten about halfway in on one credit. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to knuckle down and do the real practice to try and master it. But one of the things it does really interestingly is in your weapon system. So most shooters, you've got like your primary shot and then you get your power up for your secondary shot. You know, you've got various different systems, you know, whether it's like what R-Type does or what the Gradius games do. Here what happens is when you destroy enemies, you collect little crystals and they power up your main shot, and then you'll destroy some enemies and they'll drop secondary weapons. And there's things like a sort of spread fire. There's like a massive beam, missiles, and a couple of other ones. And those will also get leveled up as well. So you collect these little gems, little green gems from destroyed enemies, and they'll boost that up. What happens, though, is most shooters, you take a hit, you die. You might get a shield power up that lets you take a few hits and then you die. Here, it's kind of like Halo is the best way to describe the shield system. So you start off, you got like two shield bars. You get hit, you lose one. You lose some weapon power as well. You get hit again, the second one will drop. But then if you're not hit, it'll slowly recharge like it does in Halo, which I really like because it means that if you're not an absolute master, you can still sort of learn the little tricks of surviving. So you don't get into the thing where some shooters where if you die after a certain point, you're pretty much not going to recover. They expect you to be powered up for certain areas, and if you're not powered up, you're gone. What I really like as well is there's this sort of mechanic where the enemies will drop a certain thing called I think it's an adjustment pod, and there's one of them in each stage. You collect it, and you keep it till the end of the stage, and before you start the next stage, you can upgrade your ship. Like, you can upgrade how many levels you can upgrade the secondary weapon, or increase the number of shields and like power level for your main weapon. You can add like an extra secondary weapon slot, like you start with two. So there's a bit of customization that comes in. And this also applies, like, when you die, it generates a password for you so you can restart, put the password in the hat, and have start out with that stuff activated.
That's classic shit, that is.
Yeah, they've really thought a lot about these ways of modernizing that 16-bit experience.
Mm.
And so, like I said, I'm really hoping to be able to get the Mega Drive cartridge when it comes out and actually pop it on my Mega Drive and play it there. But it's been cool playing it. Like, the emulation does all the kind of things for give you scan lines and TV stuff. There's all a bunch of filtering. There's no save state stuff, which is a bit annoying. Like, I would have loved, pardon me, to be able to like save a snapshot so I could train stages. Yep. That's sort of the one thing I'm really missing there. So it is, like I said, at the moment it's on PC. I did play it, my games group a few weeks ago. Someone had bought it and had it on their Steam Deck. So I imagine it's going to, and it ran fine there. I don't know whether it's been verified there. I've just been playing it on PC. It's coming to Xbox, PlayStation, Switch this month. They had some delays on the console releases. So it's coming there. And then in the new year, it's going to be a Mega Drive cartridge.
It looks pretty good for a Mega Drive game. I've like just got the trailers on the Steam running in silent.
One of the things is that the modern tooling they've used to it, that is basically a much bigger ROM, like a much bigger cartridge ROM than what was done on games back in the day. And there's like some amazing, there's the animation it plays, like when you launch at the start of the game, you see your fighter drop out of the ship, it launches, it does this really cool, neat animated
roll thing. It looks sweet. Yeah.
Massive number of animation frames that, you know, back then they wouldn't have had the ROM space to do that. So there's a lot of that stuff. Really, it's sort of like what the modern development tooling that the homebrew developers have really been able to push out. And it's kind of cool to see this legitimized at such a way, because a lot of the homebrew scene for these vintage systems is usually just like these small sort of side projects, bits and pieces. There's very few other games that have gotten sort of this big crossover. The only other one from recent memory is Xenocrisis, which is a Smash TV style twin stick shooter.
It's like Solar Pier or something from like a decade ago, which was Mega Drive and Mega CD. Like, it's this super weird like hybrid.
But it doesn't really happen that often. It's kind of cool to see that legitimized. Like, being able, like, a great game is a great game no matter the machine.
What I find kind of fascinating, especially what you said about like ROM size and stuff, is like, the hardware is not just limited by the hardware sometimes. It is literally also the tools with which you can access it, which almost makes me wonder, like, in 20 years' time, we're going to see this PS5 homebrew, like, pushing out shit that we just could not have imagined at the moment.
Yeah, that's definitely possible. Like, I know, you know, other systems have had that stuff. Like, you know, they're broken, like, the 360 open, so who knows what they're able to start doing with that now. Amongst other things. So, yeah, it's always just really cool seeing that stuff. Like, I know people have been doing new things on, like, you know, Dreamcast for a while.
Dreamcast is very active in this regard, actually.
Yeah, Dreamcast has been very active.
The original Xbox, from what I can understand, has got a shitload of stuff on it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's basically just, like, emulate stuff. There hasn't been much new game development, whereas, like, the Dreamcast has been getting new games being written for it.
Mm.
Like, the PS2... hasn't really had that either. Like, the PS2's just had some other stuff, but yeah. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, maybe more devs get this sort of nostalgia for these systems as times go on, and whether, you know, homebrew SDKs can be created for them to create like new actual games for them.
Especially if like stuff like this turns out to be like sustainably profitable, where it is like a passion project that could also be like, okay, you're not going to make $1 million, but you're gonna pay the rent.
Yeah, like Earthune was, what I understand, was a two-person team. So if you could keep lean and do that, like, again, I think the example that's worth thinking of is Bitmap Muro, who did Xenocrisis. They got that game ported to a lot of systems, like modern stuff, so you can buy it on the consoles and PC. But on the vintage systems, like Mega Drive, Neo Geo, SNES, Dreamcast, GBA, and, like, you can buy that as, like, real cartridges and stuff. And they've been able to fund that and, you know, keep doing another couple of projects with that.
I mean, this is limited running. Clearly, they're onto something. I've also just learned something while trying to, like, describe what this game, like, if I'm not quite described as a schmuck, makes me remember and realize that, oh, I apparently had Darius 2 on my Master System. And I've not known that until now because they called it Segaia or something.
Segaia. I don't know why it got named that in the West. Because
it's not like a super, like, oh, this name makes sense for Western audiences. It's just some weird, unpronounceable-ish word.
Yeah, I don't know the story behind that. One of those weird curiosity moments, that's for sure.
I guess just worth pointing out, it's more of a side-scrolling, not a top-down, which may help give a bit of perspective on, like...
R-Type Gradius is sort of the things I think of there. It's sort of the touch points for people.
Yeah, and actually, the more I'm watching this, the more like I'm like, holy shit, the Mega Drive could actually do some things. It is like wild as goes by.
Yeah.
But anyway, moving on, the reason for me being super sleepy is maybe being alluded is I've been on holiday for the last month, traipsing all over Europe, of which I could not just catch a train to. So flights, and then in some cases, some very long train rides. So like the Switch 2 was like purchased, like the decent quality power bank was also purchased, and then not allowed to use on the airplane anymore because no airlines are going to let you do that. Like the day leaving, I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy a copy of Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
It seems like this is pretty good. It's like easy enough. Like I had to swing by an area that had a Yodobashi camera in it anyway. I was like, all right, you know what? Fuck it. This is going to be my travel game. So I get in there, boot it up, play for about 2 hours. And then I was like, you know what? I really want to play this game on a TV. So I did not touch it again for the rest of the trip.
Yep. I did the same thing with it.
It just feels wrong in a handheld and like, oh my God. Even the sticks just felt wrong, like more than usual. Like, so yeah, I will be playing that probably starting tomorrow. So after, you know, like getting in, switching, like this is going to be my big new travel purchase to, like, you know, help me get through this journey. I played exclusively Switch 1 games on it pretty much the entire time. One small shout out for Switch 2 hardware though is that having a USB-C on the top of the console, particularly on airplanes and shit, is a game changer. Because you can just you can't get enough power from an airplane seat, annoyingly, but you can definitely slow down the battery drain while having it in little stand-up mode, which is, frankly, nice. But yeah, for the most part, the game I played the most of that wasn't Ninja Gaiden, which I don't feel like we need to talk about after we've already been into Shinobi at more depth, I went back and like finally played my old copy of Spiritfarer. Which is a mostly wonderful game that is just hugely frustrating, like 3 or 4 occasions that make it simultaneously the best and the worst travel game at the same time. So for anybody who's not familiar with what Spiritfarer is, because I feel like this is a famous, not famous game. And the way he's always like staring up at the ceiling probably justifies how I described
it.
No.
I'm just trying to think if I played it. I know about it. I remember seeing it, but I just can't remember if I played it or not. So probably not.
Yeah. It's a side-scrolling set with platforming, let's say, adventure / crafting game where basically everybody is dead and you've taken over from Charon. So you're sailing a ship around, getting people ready to like move on to the final stage of the afterlife. In this very lightly drawn, colorful, you're the most chipper looking character in the face of the earth as well. Like you're like, this is really get up and go, Genki young woman.
This is the one they announced the sequel for, wasn't it?
I'm actually not sure if there's a sequel announced there. There could be. That would be kind of grim in its own way. Because, I mean, yeah, it's for like such a like chill kind of good moods game. It is kind of bleak in its theming because like you're basically picking up people who it seems like you. Again, I was on a flight. I was sleepy, so I've forgotten like a lot of the early story, which may have helped me out a little bit. But you're basically through doing favors for people, which is okay. That you're please build me a house. I want to go here and see this again. I want to eat this meal for the last time. And this kind of ties into the crafting and the cooking systems. Mostly pretty well. I just mentioned it straight up now. The reason it's a great travel game is like, okay, you can kind of get into this like nice rhythm where it's like, okay, I've got this cooking. I'm going to go here and talk to this person while I set the ship to go over there. And you can just kind of like, it becomes almost like a meditative like process. The reason it sucks as a travel game is like, it's not perfect at like, it definitely doesn't keep like a log of things you need to do or like a good memory of like, They will say, like, this person wants to eat this, but if you've ever been to the place that you need to go already, it will never mark it on a map or anything like that.
Yeah.
And they're like, a solid three places I want to see where I just had no fucking idea where it wanted me to go next, which makes it a terrible airplane game unless you happen to have Wi-Fi in your flight, because at some point you're tired, you're grumpy, you don't have the time to think about this, and you just really, the only way forward is to look up the answer.
Yeah.
Simple art style. I think I've seen the art style described as Ghibli-esque, which is not quite right. If it was Ghibli-esque, I would love the art style. I'm kind of neither here nor there. They've gone for like a light pastel, very flat, and I think that's because you're on this gigantic boat and you're just stacking rooms on top of it. Because you'll build a house for like everybody you pick up. As well as things like workshops and kitchens and places to grow food and vegetables. And you can just like shuffle them around all over the place. So like it needs to have that. But it is worth saying that while I'm not a huge fan of like the actual visual stylings, don't dislike it, just not being it either. The animation itself is glorious. Like even just the main character's run animation, I feel like I could watch that shit all day. This is like a big up for like the power of like just hand-drawn animation. Like there's little especially when the artists know what they're doing. There's a hug button in conversations because you need to keep your people happy, and like intermittently, if you hug them, that will cheer them up, and like all of the hug animations are just absolutely glorious and adorable. And then, yeah, everybody else will like, you'll just be doing things like going around the map. And so I don't know how they do. I feel like this is probably easy to do, but it breaks my brain because the game is not like a top-down battleship map. It is side-scrolling all the way through, and you like see your boat there. But the map is obviously, you know, it's a fucking map. It's like thing on the wall, and you say, okay, we're here, we want to go there. And it takes you there, and it will take you past the other locations on the map, which I guess is probably not that difficult to program. But it is weird in my head that you're always on this 2D plane, but it manages to take you past all the correct things. If you're going to go through a storm, you will hit that storm. If you're going to go past another island, that other island will go past you. Which I found like a cool little world building thing. I do wish the ship went a bit faster. You can eventually upgrade it. The construct. I mean, yeah, at some point it is largely like a construction build shit makeshift game, and that I did find got a little bit tedious. But like once it's actually when it's actually moving, if it just wish it did a little bit better job of like going, okay, oh, you need to go to this village and speak to this person, maybe. Like, since all the characters look the same anyway, maybe just put a fucking marker over their head and have an option to turn it off if you want to be pure about it. Because at some point, I'm, like, getting very tired of, like, going to, okay, I need to go up here, and I'm talking to every single character again and again and again and again. Which is a shame, because, like, Spirit, like, it does a very good job with its theme, with its themes. It handles what it's talking about really delicately, with, like, both whimsy and, like, a bit more weight and gravitas than it needs to. Very expressive animations. One that bugged me way too much for like unfair reasons. I shouldn't be saying this as a criticism. But if you remember a much more valid criticism, the opening of Forspoken, this became basically a meme where you can't do anything about it. You just let a bag full of money burn while you're looking for your cat. And like, you could have just picked up the bag and looked for the cat. Like the animators and the writers were not talking to each other. The whole thing was just fucking dumb. Here it's a little more simple. So every character, like, they personify as, like, different animals. My favorite was, like, your uncle who, like, comes back as a frog. But, like, if you give them food, like, there is a shit ton of stuff you can cook. And while they have a nice little drawing of each food, it makes sense that they do not have an animation for the characters eating each possible food that you could give them. It's just like, okay, this character will always eat a sandwich. This character will always just be rubbing their tummy or whatever. But it bugs me to no end that one of the lion characters is, like, very vain, kind of an arsehole. Not my favorite character in the game. Refuses to eat carbs. So you all have likes and dislikes. It's kind of like one of those things undergoing. There's a whole lot of balancing to see how happy you can keep everybody. So you have to give him, like, coffee or just, like, meat or salad. But, like, if you try to offer him rice or something, he's like, nah, won't do it. But his animation for eating food is always a plate of spaghetti.
It's Jim Bro spaghetti, mate.
I guess it could be cognac.
Yeah.
It could be super gross, though. Oh, God, I hate cognac spaghetti.
I have it a lot.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, don't bother looking it up.
I have it a lot. But yeah, I have it in stir fries and stuff, so you don't taste it.
Okay. But like, as no, I've tried to have it in like place of pasta before, and it's
no. In a saucy stir fry, it's
in good. A stir fry, it's fine. In like soups, like cubes of it can be fine. Yeah. As a spaghetti replacement, as a noodle replacement, no. Just no. But yeah, this has been on sale a few times on Switch. It actually seems to run pretty well. Yeah. Looks mostly okay in a Switch 2 screen. It has a little bit of that okay, I'm watching a DVD on a HD screen kind of effect going, where like the resolution doesn't quite fit. But the side scrolling stuff that I had an issue with, I mentioned with Ninja Gaiden, is probably just because of the nature of the game. Much less of an issue here. Still actually feels great to play, but also it's not like you need to be super agile. It is just kind of getting into a routine and keeping on top of things. And just saying, fuck it, I need to look up where to go next, because it is just not worth the amount of time it will take you to like sail across the fucking map going, okay, this person wants this thing and they haven't really specified which island it's on anymore, and I know I've been there before, but like I played this a day ago when I was on a flight and I don't fucking remember.
Yep.
So I'm probably sounding a bit harsh, but overall this game is really delightful. Just be willing to Google shit when you need to. And yeah, the hug animation is fantastic. More games should like have no punch button but a hug command. 100% on board with that. now that I've said that, now we're going to take a short break, and when we come back we're going to basically mix Gamescom with stuff we're looking forward to mostly later this year. I want to see how many of those, now that I've said that, how many of those games that I'm looking forward to maybe do involve shooting or punching things in the face.
All of them.
Gamescom happened. I was in Belgium, which it turns out is not that far away from Germany when it happened, and I did not plan things well enough ahead to think maybe I should like go and see if I could talk to some people. So instead, it was also my birthday, so I, you know, went to a bar in the middle of the town, ordered some beers, and a plate of cheese. Yeah.
Yeah.
We just had some fresh Gouda with salt and pepper and pickles, which it turns out all goes really, really well, and let's say three or four amazing beers and one very poorly advised recommendation from a bar staff who probably sized me up as a white guy who at this point... So I got a clean shave at the start of the holiday and then just didn't touch it. So I saw a white guy with a beard and like recommended this like low alcohol, super hoppy, low flavor thing that I drank like maybe 20% of, and then I was like, I'm just wasting my alcohol intake here, and then ordered something else. But while this was happening, so was Gamescom. So we're gonna, and we do halfway through the year, or a bit later in this case, kind of do our usual, okay, what are we looking forward to towards the end of the year episode, and we're just gonna like smoosh that together with Gamescom, or else we're just gonna run out of time, basically. So I guess we'll like just have some basic thoughts on Gamescom first, and then talk about games that we either expect or hope will actually come out this year. Do the Gamescom bit first, though, because I know Huso has some stuff he wants to talk about that is scheduled.
Yeah, 2016. Well, the most important announcement at all of Gamescom, it overshadows anything from Sony or Xbox or anything like that. Tropico 7! Yeah!
There it is! It's even funny because this game was inevitably going to come along in the next couple of years.
Yeah. Tropico 7, I didn't see anything. Apparently, I read the press release they sent me, where there's a whole bunch of new stuff, which all sounds very cool and very nerdy if you're a Tropico fan like me. But yes, it's time for Tropico.
It's a shame that you've actually read on it, because we could like troll you and say they've actually made it a free-to-play mobile game now.
Yeah,
buy coin packs.
Gacha Central.
Yeah, weirdly, Huso knows me well enough that the two things that like stood out to me most were the things that like he pre-alerted me to.
Yeah.
So Shenmue 3 Enhanced Edition, something I'm not so sure necessarily needs to happen, depending on how they approach it. So yeah, I did a piece for IGN a week before Japan shut down for COVID, which is like fucking annoying because I was strapped for time writing that thing, like barely got it out the door. And then a week later, I had all the time in the world to write it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was basically called something. I called it something along the lines of how Shenmue 3 chased the memory and lost sight of the vision. Which still sounds great. But there are some things in that game that could be fixed to make it a lot better. And from what I read of the press release, I don't think those things are going to be addressed. Instead, they may put in some more NPCs and higher texture resolution.
Yeah.
So there's no trailer or anything yet, so we don't really know. The other one, which looks fucking rad, is Jet Set Radio with a train meets Katamari Damacy meets Tony Hawk or some shit. And it looks fucking awesome.
Yep. I saw that and went, Tim would like that.
I think it was delirious and like out of sleep, and then I just watched that and I go, no, yeah, this is probably going to be my jam. Yeah. It's a hyper stylized, very Japanese. It's called Denshi Attack, which is a clever, fun little pun. Like it's kind of catchy as well. Where you basically just a high speed, highly stylized train just tearing it up around the place.
Yep. With a cool Jet Set Radio art style and yeah.
Art style. So Katamari energy and like tricks, which makes me think a mixture of like Tony Hawk and like streamlined 3D Sonic, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. It looked cool. Like it was a wild trailer.
I hope it is good because it looks fucking rad. Like it presented very well.
Yes.
Oh, and the funniest thing I think was of course when it turned out like everyone was like, Silk Song's there, and like you got these big outlets saying, We played Silk Song, and then it's like apparently it's the same demo from like
2019
in Australia in 2019. Like which is actually super smart of them because why waste time developing a new demo? It's like we can just end up like because they're clearly aware of how many people are hanging on for this game.
Yeah,
it's just like all we need to do is announce release date.
It's next week.
Yeah,
next week,
like a week into September.
Yeah,
like it's coming out.
I just love the interview that Schreier had with them. And it's just like, yeah, they're just having fun. Just
yeah,
you got all the money in the world, so you could just develop on your own terms.
Like, there's a small team in Adelaide, which is one of the few places in Australia that's still somewhat affordable to live, to my understanding. So,
they sold 15 million copies.
So yeah, they've also got like a buttload of money. It's not a big team. They sold a lot. It's probably still selling. I expect like that thing still goes at a decent trickle. And they know that Silk Song is going to burst out the gate. Like,
yeah. And they're still, so I originally backed Hollow Knight when they ran their Kickstarter a decade or so ago.
Yep.
And I basically got a Silk Song key incoming. For everyone who backed on Kickstarter, they're just given a Silk Song key to people.
Because it was originally going to be DLC. And like,
they've got no CEO telling them not to.
Yeah. Good on them. I'm like, they deserve their success.
Kind of rad. I definitely bought Hollow Knight. I don't remember if I just bought it on Steam or if I did actually Kickstarter it. I should probably go. I haven't kickstarted anything in like a decade, so I haven't checked that account.
Yeah, I mean, in a while. If you did, you'd have had the email by now saying,
"Hey." Yeah, but it's tied to my Hotmail, which I don't check anymore. I intentionally tie shit like that to my Hotmail so I don't get spammed quite as much.
Fair enough. Like you'll have the email in there if you did. So,
go and see if Heartful to Leisure is ever actually going to come out.
Or Star Citizen Squadron 42 in my case.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Also, a couple of lols. One that I did think was a fever dream was like the first time I think I did wake up and I was like, okay, I can't sleep. And turn my phone brightness all the way down and just like watch a couple of things on YouTube and see if I get sleepy. And the first thing was like, it just started auto playing was a trailer for a new Bubsy game that looks horrible.
Yeah.
Apparently, the devs behind it have made some all right platformers from what the Scuttlebutt is saying.
It could play fine, I guess, but
the whole attitude was grating. Like it just set my teeth on edge. That trailer, like I was watching it and go, "It's not April Fool's, guys. Fuck, why are we doing this?" And then it's legit.
Far into production like this, like it could play fine, but my gosh, like tone goes a long way sometimes,
and that just felt like it's trying to be edgy. Sort of.
If they actually just went back to like the aping Looney Tunes that Bubsy kind of was and, like, did that, it would probably potentially be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was when all the bloody platformers went from cute Looney Tunes knockoffs like Gex.
Like, slightly attitude-y, like that, like, yeah, early 90s.
And then there was Gex 3D, which was, like, he was trying to be cool James Bond, and then there was Bubsy trying to be cool, and, yeah. Even Earthworm Jim did a 3D one, which was still at least mental like Earthworm Jim, but, yeah.
So that like, I want to say was very funny. Apparently, this is kind of a bummer. So Final Fantasy Remake apparently is looking great on Switch 2, and Elden Ring is a hot mess.
Yeah.
That's a bummer, because that's when I was like, I still haven't played Elden Ring. I was like, you know what, if they just, you know, they've got the PS4 version, that's probably what they're going to work from. They've got time to, like, refine it. This may be a good way for me to actually finally decide, fuck it, like, they might fix up the frame pacing. My optimism was so far misplaced from what I can tell.
That genuinely surprised me, because it's like, whoever they worked with to do Dark Souls Remastered was a decent job. So I would have thought, like, they'd have someone, again, use the PS4 as a base and do a decent job of it. That's a bummer.
But, like, multiple accounts is apparently, especially in handheld mode, like, the game just runs like garbage. And I mean, it's not out yet, obviously, but it is scheduled for this year, which doesn't leave a whole lot of time unless it's an old build.
Yeah.
Maybe they did a Team Cherry. Maybe it is from 2019.
It's probably just an old build.
Just a Switch 1 for the latest Switch 1 version running under the backward compatibility. Oh.
If that was the case, it would be running smoothly. It would just look like a washed out mess.
Yeah. I was really surprised, really glad to see Night Dive doing the remaster for Outlaws. Yeah,
I was going
to
say Outlaws. That's like a deep dive. That is, that's shit no one remembers, but I loved that game.
Like, when it came out, my PC at the time couldn't run it. Yeah. So by the time I got a PC that could, it was sort of like in a tube. So I'm like, I'm cool. I'm definitely wanting to check this out.
I really enjoyed it. It was, like, it wasn't the perfect first-person shooter, but it did a lot of things ahead of its time. When it came out. So it'll be really interesting to see how it holds up in a Night Dive format.
Yeah, Night Dive pretty much doing solid work on all these.
Doing God's work. I've just been playing the Heretic and Hexen one, and it's
great. Oh, shit, I forgot that just came out.
It's great. It's really good. And the new levels are fantastic. It did a new campaign for Heretic, and Night Dive did a new campaign for Hexen.
They have a new campaign each.
Yeah,
no, those are two games that I almost bought on multiple occasions, but never did with either.
Yeah.
So I don't think Hexen
holds up as well. But anyway, yeah, that's
yeah. Hexen tried to do something
different,
pretty unique for that kind of era of tech.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
I think Hexen 2 would have been nice to have in there too. But yeah,
yeah, but I guess that's
3D.
Yeah, and Heretic 2 would be cool to see revisited as well.
So they could do two, both of those. Yeah,
yeah.
Here we go. We're working for you, Night Dive.
Yeah.
It's super weird to be reminded that World of Warcraft still exists. I was like, you know,
still makes a fortune, too. It's ridiculous. Like, yeah. New WoW.
Really?
I mean, I've got one MMO in my life, and that's ESO, and you can't have room for any others. That's it. You pick your poison and you go with it. So that's my poison.
No, let's live in the dream life.
Yeah.
So just before I left, I watched Pulp Fiction again. Pulp Fiction is still a pretty good movie, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Movie holds up. But I and this is just like an aging process and like where your brain goes back and forth. So like there's a scene where like they're really trying to establish a drug dealer as this absolute loser. And he's gonna cope very, very poorly when John Travolta shows up with a woman who took her drugs the wrong way. But before that, he's just like sitting in bed with a tray eating sugary cereal watching cartoons, and I'm like going, maybe this guy gets it. Like, that seems like the fucking dream right now. And if you're that guy, I think you can have two MMOs in your life. Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, got to have something to alternate to when MMO1 is down for maintenance.
Yeah. I think for a month of my life, I could deal with, like, playing two MMOs, eating Fruit Loops, and watching old Looney Tunes reruns. I think that actually sounds
I remember reviewing two at once way back when, and it was just
no, that sounds
fucked.
Terrible.
It was. The Secret World, and there was another one that came out around the same time. I can't even remember the name of it. I remember The Secret World because it was at least different, you know. But, yeah, this other one was just generic fantasy shit, and I'm just like, ah.
There were so many of that. God, yeah.
Yeah.
They were the live service at the time. They really, really were.
They were. Yep. There's a couple others that looked cool to me, and one that's looking better every time I see it, and that's Vampire the Masquerade.
That's not a very Huso sounding answer, actually.
It's looking better every time I see it.
I'm sort of torn because it's like,
yeah,
I want the sequel to Bloodlines, but this still sounds like if it was Vampire the Masquerade, something else.
Yeah,
it would be great.
I think what they got stuck with, obviously, when they originally designed it as a proper Bloodlines sequel, and then the developer, you know, all the developer shit happened, and they changed developers and all that, and they had to pivot. So what we've got now feels more like Dishonored than a proper Bloodlines sequel. But you know what, Vampire Dishonored. Good. That doesn't sound shit.
I'm hoping it lives up. Yeah. If it lives up to that, heck yeah.
And from the previews I've read, everyone's pretty keen on it. They're saying it's showing off pretty well. So, you know, I've been watching the Dev Diaries because I really love a redemption story. Like, I really love the story behind Dead Island 2 and how it turned out to be a really fun zombie game after all the shit it went through. So I'm hoping this does the same sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, I'm hoping that as well.
Yeah.
One of the other ones that got me was that Valor Mortis, the Napoleonic era soul FPS Soulsy shooter
Souls thing. Yeah,
yeah, because it's like it's not generic fantasy. It's not whatever else. It's like I like the idea of someone trying something different with the vibe.
Yep.
So I was like, yeah, that just sounds like a really interesting time period to mess around with.
Yeah, it seemed because I liked Remnant as far as Souls games. Remnant. And Remnant 2, I adore more than any other of the Souls games because I think it's the guns and I can distance myself from and I work better with that. So I think this first person one will be right up my alley, actually.
So I'm really interested to see how that matures.
To try and pivot to, I guess, some more positive stuff before we get into stuff coming out this year, looking forward to. Capcom is still continuing to fire on all cylinders. New Resident Evil looking very good. Weird, let's carry a girl around on my robot shoulders and hack into robots game.
Yep. They do one batshit mental
Pragmatic,
game.
Pragmatic, is that it?
Yeah, Pragmata or Pragmata.
Pragmata
Yeah.
Also looking pretty good. Some very nice hair. I was watching a video earlier today. Digital Foundry did see the PS5 or at least PS5 Pro version running, and it apparently was looking better than expected. A lot of people like worried that this is all like running on 50 series graphics cards and like what the console version is going to be like.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Because apparently it's like very ray tracing intensive.
Oh, okay. It's on the bloody RE engine, I'm sure. And that shit's, I don't know how
that shit
keeps.
Just flies, that thing. Yeah.
It does some black magic in that engine to get it to do Street Fighter then Monster Hunter. Like, it's some black magic in there.
They've figured something out. They've figured something out over there.
Except this time, that girl's hair actually looks pretty good, which I guess is one important one because she has a lot of it. She's going to be on camera a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But two, like, the hair was just super weird in Resident Evil 4. I remember having to turn that effect off because it was just more of a, like, a weird squib on his head than, like, a
I think
cool
that used
effect.
The NVIDIA hair tech, that was the problem there, and that shit's been.
Was that still around a couple of years ago? I'm talking about the remake, not the.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. I'm Tres X.
Like the now, like announced an update to that, and it's just like the side by side shots.
Yeah,
are
yeah.
Like I couldn't
tell like the difference.
Yeah, like someone was slightly darker.
Kind of looking at it with my glasses, going, "What the fuck?" Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's just like I could barely tell the difference. It's like,
yeah.
Hair animation is this weird holy grail one, like Final Fantasy Spirits Within. Didn't they spend like $10 million or something on the lead character's hair in that movie?
Well, it wasn't hair, but it was the capes in Batman Arkham Knight that completely fucked the PC port. It was the cape.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. That's what it worked out to be, trying to get the cape to move, and it just balked the whole port. Like, it was one of the worst PC ports ever. And
I still remember that story.
Yeah. It was the capes and the smoke, the volumetric fog and shit they were doing.
I actually knew that from Arkham Asylum, which I played on my first ever actual gaming laptop, and it ran great until I turned the volumetrics on, and then it's like, oh, nope, that's going off again.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving to stuff we're actually looking forward to. It turns out there's actually quite a lot of pretty cool-looking stuff coming out this year. A lot of it next month, actually. So by the time people are listening to this, it's going to be like a week or two away from like half the things I think I'm going to talk about.
And then October's even worse.
Yeah.
Well, let's start. I was going to say go in chronological order, but then I don't have things written down in chronological order and I can't remember which comes out in which month. So, Rob, just tell us a couple of games looking forward to that come out before the end of the year. Or should come
out. So, firstly, is Terminator 2D No Fate.
Nice.
So, this is by Bitmap Bureau, who I talked about earlier doing Xenocrisis. And this is like a run and gun based on sort of like Terminator 2 with a bit of like alternative universe bit to it. But it looks like, a throwback to like an arcade game from like the 90s from, the time of T2.
Excellent.
Yep.
And yeah. And they've just like that, like I said, they've just been on fire with all their games over the last few years from Xenocrisis.
Ninja Turtles, didn't they? Were they the guys that did Ninja Turtles?
They did Final Vendetta as well, which is.
Oh, yep.
And I think Battle Axe was something they were involved with. But their big one for me was Xenocrisis. Mm. But yeah, this looks nuts. And it's just like really, really great pixel animation, really detailed. It's been knocked back a bit. It was supposed to come out like originally supposed to be same day as Silksong. Yeah. I don't believe. And then it
got
pushed back.
I would move the date if I was them.
They did.
That's basically what happened ages ago.
It's been the indie move. I thought, yeah. It's been like Grand Theft Auto was coming out, but for indies, and everyone's gone, yeah. Get the fuck out of Dodge.
I am not blaming anybody, frankly.
A while ago, so to October.
Yep.
Another one for me is Fatal Run 2089, which is from the Atari staple and is a modernized take on a game they published on the 2600 and 7800, which is like your behind the back car, like the original game, you're driving to deliver medical supplies, and this is sort of modernized a bit. It's like post-apocalyptic, a lot of like, you're driving to stuff, having to fight your way through. It's looking pretty good from like the last couple of trailers I've seen, and I don't have a date for that. It's just they've been saying 2025, so
yeah,
hopefully we'll get a date for that, and it hasn't dropped to next year, but it's looking pretty good for what I want from that. And then the other one for me is Lumo 2. Lumo was a game that was done probably about a decade ago.
Actually, yeah, that little wizardy kind of guy.
Yeah, isometric like throwback thing. And the sequel for that's coming, and it's got a bunch of extra stuff. It's like little like flick screen adventure. You go from room to room, solve puzzles and stuff. It was a throwback to stuff from the 80s. Like if you've played Rare Replay and played like Night Lore on that, sort of tribute to stuff like that. Again, that's looking pretty nice. The other one would be Death by Scrolling, the roguelite RPG, RPG. Yeah, Ron Gilbert's thing. That's looking pretty good.
That seems like a perfect handheld sort of game, just whack that out in 10 minutes while you're on the train or something. That's what struck me as.
That's very much the category. I think it'll be perfect for that kind of deal. Those are big ones. And Metroid Prime 4, if it actually...
Yeah.
It's supposed to be 2025.
High five.
Come on, Ninty. Come on.
No, I feel like Nintendo, of all companies, would not have actually put that down if they didn't mean it. And I still believe it's coming out in 2025, because Nintendo, of all companies as well, tend to not give you a date until it's like 1 month out anyway.
Yeah. It might be... Like, it's probably the big Christmas game.
It's their October or November game.
Yeah. Like the big one for the holiday season. Yeah, that's sort of... I think that's just all of mine from my list here.
Yeah,
I need that game to come out this year so I don't feel stupid for buying a Switch 2 instead of a Steam Deck for my travels.
Justification.
That is definitely way up there on my list. There's a whole bunch of horror on my list, and I know it's because I'm not like a big horror film guy, but like I still think Hell Is Us looks really cool.
It does.
I have no idea how it could turn out to be an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
Or it could turn out to be one of the most amazing games ever, or it just could just also turn out to be very divisive. But I love the style. I feel they've like channeled a certain degree of like Kojima in the vibe, except like they're gonna have their own tone and maybe a little bit less insane. We're gonna have like a different type of storytelling to go with it. I also like how US is spelled in full capitals, so in a way it's kind of Hell Is US, which also feels like a kind of equivalent. But yeah, just keeping that horror thing going. Kronos looks like it could be really, really cool. And since they did good on that Resident Evil Silent Hill 2 remake, Bloober Team has like some faith in them going.
And to be honest, the medium was quite good, if not amazing. Like, I think Bloober have done some really interesting, but that have never quite got it all together until Silent Hill. I really quite enjoyed the medium and the whole concept behind it. It just kind of fumbled the ball in a few spots. So I think
I haven't played it, but a lot of people really did not come out liking that game in long term.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit harsh, to be honest. It played on the kind of Soul Reaver style thing where you had two planes of existence and they used some really interesting puzzles. And yeah, I quite, you know, it wasn't a complete game and there were issues with it, don't get me wrong, but I thought it was a cool idea that they just kind of fumbled in the execution in a few areas.
Yeah. Yeah, and just to be cute with, like, Bloober Team and this whole thing, like, Silent Hill F also looks quite cool and it's coming out the same month. What the fuck? And these are all September, I think. Not the way.
Yeah.
These are supposed to be October games. This is like your Halloween slate.
Yes. they probably all scheduled there before GTA moved.
Yeah.
You may.
That one surprised me.
Yeah.
Although they've had time to like push it back. Like if anybody's like, you need a little more development time, this is the one time where the execs may actually say, all right, take another couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although weirdly, I think Silent Hill may be the lowest down on my lists of those. We'll see how my opinion changes once all games are out and like some thoughts are in the field, but.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, I think for me, there's two and I'm lucky enough to have played them both already. And one's Ninja Gaiden 4.
Yes.
Because, fuck, that's good.
That it's game good. Is fucking good.
It plays real good too, you know. They've got the juice. Platinum, they're cooking
they
here.
Still have it.
Yeah, they're cooking really, really, really good. You can go and read 600 articles I wrote about Ninja Gaiden 4 right now on Player 2.
Yeah, that site became – yeah, Player 2 did become like just ninjagaiden.com for like a week.
But the other one, and my preview will be up tomorrow. Well, it'll be up by the time this is The Outer Worlds 2. And I got to play the opening, like, I guess, you know, the opening tutorial-ish level, which is about an hour. And so I've played that three times now. I played it because you can play – three different ways, or there's probably more to be honest, but I found three different ways to play this opening level. It is everything that The Outer Worlds 1 was, but better.
Like, well, that's great to hear.
The stealth is legit. Like, it's good stealth here. You know, the gunplay feels tighter. You know, the conversations. There's this one thing that I'm just itching to tell people about, but I'm specifically told in my embargo conditions not to tell anyone about.
Oh.
And I pissed myself laughing. Like, it was perfect. It was just perfect. And, you know, like, it's got that obsidian dark, dark humor that just is absolutely my jam. So playing that first hour, everything just feels brilliant. I've played it, yeah, like I said, three times now, and I'll have a preview up tomorrow, but yeah. It's looking great. It's going to be my end of year game that I don't know that anything else is going to take me away from that.
I'm not going to have enough time for everything because obviously I'm back now, so I want to finally play Death Stranding 2. I clearly did not play through Donkey Kong when I was that way.
Yeah.
There's Metroid. I feel like Mixtape is still tentatively down for this year, but that's one I'm expecting will probably slip drop. Because there's not if a game like that doesn't have a release date yet, then
yeah,
maybe not. I think because I was slightly let down with a few people, like Mario Kart World just didn't land as hard as we were expecting. That's giving Sonic Cross Worlds. I mean, two out of the three of those Sonic Racing games I've actually really, really, really liked.
What I played of this one, it was really good. So, yeah.
Gotta go fast.
Although, well, gotta drive fast, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weirdly, not that excited for Ghost of Yota yet. It just maybe there've been so many awesome samurai slash ninja slash just Asian setting with swords games this year.
I'm keen for it.
I'm keen, but it's like Ninja. Like if I have to choose between that, I know they're very different.
Yeah.
Structures, but if I have to choose between that and Ninja Gaiden 4, it's gonna take a lot for me to go for Yota instead. I think.
Instead of Ninja Gaiden 4, yeah.
Kind of Lego Voyages. It looks like a really legitimately super fun co-op.
I did like, actually, we didn't mention that, but the Lego Batman, the new Lego Batman, which is just Arkham, the Arkham movies, the Arkham games remade in Lego, which, like, sign me up, you know?
That does sound kind of genius because, yeah, one, that actually just sounds like fun and goofy. But two, it also means that, like, okay, your sons are now old enough to play the games properly. But, you know, if they were eight.
Yeah, yeah. But I was watching the videos, and you know, you're creeping along the high wires and shooting up and doing the stealth bits that were in the Arkham and the same combat, you know, with the timing based combat and stuff. So let's just cool.
I hope those land. I do really hope those land.
That actually sounds really fun. That does, lands. Isn't it?
They're
that
doing the, really all three fun. Of them, like, you know, the Lego movies. You've done the trilogy sort of things before. That's what they're doing with it. So yeah. That's so cool.
And be like, probably wouldn't be that processor heavy either. Like, you don't have any capes to worry about anymore. It's made of
It's like all volumetric things. You can just have your shower Lego.
Yeah.
Shower Lego,
I bet an RTX 5090 could do some pretty nice reflective wet Lego if it wanted to, though.
Yeah, they'd be good for when you're dealing with Mr. Freeze.
I see myself saying the words pretty nice wet Lego when I started this show before. This is where we've ended up.
Yeah. We're classy, folks.
Very classy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, so short of it, I think I've just about hit everything that I'm looking for. But that's like a lot. Like, that's, I do not have time to play everything that I've just said.
Really? Really hard to fit everything in.
Especially when I'm glomming. Like I'm even trying to think about how I'm going to, like, narrow it down. So it's nice to be back at this problem after a couple of years ago where I was like, oh, God, there's fucking nothing coming out. Just, like, actually blockbustery. There's some cool indies and that's fun, but it's like, okay, definitely want to play Ninja Gaiden 4. I'm definitely hoping that they patch Metal Gear Delta so it doesn't run like garbage on a PS5 Pro. That's like a weird, sad thing that's apparently going on at the moment.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I saw the Digital Foundry vid on that. It's just like, oh.
It's like, just give a frame rate cap option, I think, would fix a problem. Like,
a lot of time it does.
Just, like, give an option for a 30 or 40 frame rate cap facing your TV, and I think for most people that would actually be problem solved. I don't know how easy that is to patch. I feel like that's one of the easier things you could do, though.
Quite possibly.
Anyway, instead of getting quite analytical about this, we have actually kind of wrapped up and, like, wrapped up in decent time, which I'm happy about because listening back to, you know, when we're, like, recording everything in advance, my God, the last episode was very long. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm going to put a, like, decently timed bow on this one. So, Rob, thank you very much for, like, coming in and joining us and, like, looking forward to stuff that I had not even thought of because that is your game. Do you have any videos or anything coming out that you want to pick?
Next one will be dropping a few days after this goes out. It's a little, we're coming up to the 20th anniversary of the PAL Australian PSP launch. So I did a look back at a few new games for that because, I remember having the flashbacks to when I actually did grab one on PAL launch day. So
PSP was really good.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying that one. Caught me off guard, actually. I was a hardcore DS devotee from day one, but once I got a PSP, I kind of never actually switched back again. Partly because the games were actually just way cheaper to buy. Like, even without pirating, which other people did, like, the games were just way cheaper to buy.
It was just like, by the time the PSP launched, like, the DS didn't really hit the stride. Like, a lot of the games that I really love on the DS didn't hit until after that. So it was just like, I've got Wipeout and Ridge Racer on the go, and the Ridge Racer on DS was not as good.
Not that great. The PSP one was really good.
Yeah, still holds up beautifully. And you could buy it on your PS4 or PS5 for $15. Oh, Ridge Racer 2.
Yeah.
Which is like expanded.
It's the same one, just with more stuff, which is why I ended up
buying. More stuff, It's just as good.
And Luminous. Better. Like, the PSP actually was actually pretty good. Those UMDs were like a dumb format, like just using memory sticks.
Apparently, I read something that, like, they were originally going to do mini-disc.
That would have been slightly less dumb. At least it was an existing format. Like, they could have, had hope for the...
Yeah.
But, like, people were, like immediately pirating games onto, like, the memory sticks. Like, the answer was, like, right there.
Yeah. It was nice when they eventually let you buy games from PSN. Not that you can do that now. Not that you can download them now. Even if you've legit bought them. You can't, like...
Because there's no service.
Yeah, so that's that's annoying.
That kind of sucks. All right, anyway, that's enough. Not enough PSP nostalgia. We're going to get to the Vita soon enough. I'm going to feel really old. Yusuf!
Yes.
Anything else coming up on the site?
Yeah, well, like I said, Outer Worlds 2 preview tomorrow. So they'll be up when this goes up. And a Screamer preview, which is a new... version of an old arcade racing game
I forgot that was happening.
Yeah, so I
knew I was coming. I'm interested to read that one.
I got to play that last week. And then, yeah, my two reviews that are already up this week and maybe another one. I've got a lot.
All right. In that case, I'm going to say, like, maybe look forward to, like, a Sonic Racing Crossworlds review if you so, like, throw that one my way.
Yes.
Sounds like he needs some stuff off his plate. I may as well take advantage now that I'm back.
Yeah, absolutely. Whenever it comes.
Whenever, yeah. I feel like Sega's actually pretty good with their PR generally. And
they're generally pretty good, yeah.
We're past the Aussie Soft days.
Yep.
Fuck, remember Aussie Soft? Yeah. I'm guessing Player 2 did not happen until after Aussie Soft was gone. You never had to deal with...
No. Ever since I've...